This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on my website, and there is a weekly meditation that you can read on my website, and there's other information that you might find helpful. So if you would like those addresses, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now today we want to continue looking at the Lord as an accountant. Last time we noted that he knew all about income statements, and we looked at Mark 8, verses 36 and 37, which says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And we noted that on an income statement, it's made for a particular entity for a particular period of time. And in this case, if the revenues are the whole world, but the cost of those revenues is the eternal soul of an individual, then the bottom line is a great loss. It's red. I think there was a person who wrote a short poem that said, "To lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is more. To lose your soul is such a loss that no man can restore." And so we want to make sure that we have our income statements right, and that we have at the top of the income statement as revenues the gain of our soul. Our soul is worth so much that if that's at the top, even if we have to give up the whole world as the cost of gaining our souls, then the bottom line is still black. It's a great profit to have gained our souls for eternity, and the only way we can do that is to take God seriously, to believe that Christ did die for our sins. But today I want to look at the Lord as one who understands balance sheets, because we know that there are many people who are thinking that the Lord uses a balance sheet to decide whether they belong in heaven or not. They think he's going to take their good works and weigh them against their bad works. And if the good works exceed the bad works, they're going to be able to go into heaven. And if the bad works exceed their good works, then they're going to be bankrupt and they won't be able to go into heaven. Now, that's not biblical. But at the same time, that's what people think. And so that's why I'm going to tell you the story of Belshazzar and read Daniel 5 and verse 27 this morning. Daniel 5 and verse 27 says, "You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting." That is, you've been found light and you've been found lacking. And I want to give you the background of the story so that you understand why the Lord said this to a man by the name of Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the king of the Chaldeans. His grandfather had established a great empire and had taken credit for it, thinking he himself had done it, and God had humbled that man, Nebuchadnezzar. He had been humbled, and he ate grass for 7 years. But when the 7 years were expired, God gave him his mind back, and he gave him his kingdom back, and he told his kingdom that everybody should be worshiping that living God that had humbled him. And his son, actually his grandson, was this man, Belshazzar. And Belshazzar knew all that had happened to his grandfather. As a matter of fact, if you go down through this story, when the handwriting is on the wall and the knees began to shake, and Daniel is sent for to interpret the writing on the wall, Daniel turns to Belshazzar and recounts what happened to his grandfather and says, "Though thou knewest all this," and so it was quite clear that Belshazzar was rebelling against God. Now, what he had done is he had taken the holy vessels that had been at one time in the temple at Jerusalem, and he was using them for a drunken feast. And so, in a sense, he was shaking his fist in the face of God, the God that his grandfather had been converted to. And he was showing that he himself was the great one, and he could do what he wanted to. And while he was having this great feast and enjoying himself, the fingers of a man's hand began to write on the plaster on the wall. And when he saw the writing, he seemed to know right away that it was God writing condemnation about him. God does keep records. And he seemed to know that, but he couldn't understand exactly what was being written. So he sends for his wise men, and they can't tell him. And that's because his wise men were nothing more than fraudulent magicians worshiping a fraudulent God. And they had no insight. And so they couldn't tell him what the handwriting was all about. But his grandmother seemed to remember what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and she told him to send for Daniel, who was an old man by this time, but who still understood the mind of God. Daniel had been one of the captives that were taken from Israel back into captivity in Babylon, and he had been taught all of the wisdom of these wise men, these people that they called the Chaldeans. And he'd been taught all that wisdom, but that wisdom didn't help him because he got his wisdom directly from the hand of God. And so while he had been able to interpret dreams before, now he's asked to interpret the handwriting on the wall for Belshazzar. And when Belshazzar interprets this handwriting, he comes down to a statement or a word called tikal, and it means you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And you know, I'm reading this because everybody who thinks that they have more good works than bad works are going to be surprised to find out that one bad work, one sin, will outweigh all the good works you have ever done, because the Lord will not allow sin into heaven. The Lord is righteous. And if you have been disobedient to God, and all of us have been, we've either done it outwardly or we have done it in our minds inwardly. If we've been rebellious against God, that one sin is sufficient to weigh the balances against us. And if you want to be weighed in the balances, you're always going to be found wanting. I tell people that when we get to heaven, if God asks you why you belong there, and you say, I belong here because I've been good, you're not going to make it. But because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the balances are going to be against you. You're going to be bankrupt. The assets are going to be less than the liabilities, and the liabilities are greater than the assets. Then, according to a balance sheet, you're bankrupt, and you can't pay your bills. And that's going to be the case for those who think that God is going to weigh their good works against their bad works. Belshazzar was weighed in the balances and was found wanting. And then we read, and that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. While he was partying, Darius the Mede was outside the city, apparently stopping up an aqueduct that came under the city wall, and his army was able to breach the city by going under the wall through that aqueduct. And Belshazzar was partying when he should have been paying attention to business and defending his city. Well, that's the way most of us are. We think, well, death is a long time, is going to be a long time down the road, and if we need to be saved, we'll take care of it late in life. But folks, late in life doesn't always come for us. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We are told that we should prepare to meet our God now. Belshazzar did not do that. He was weighed in the balances, and he was found wanting. And the only way that we're going to be able to meet God and enter heaven is if we recognize that we don't deserve to be in heaven. We have sinned. Our bad works, one bad work will outweigh all of our good works, and that bad work needs to be put away, and Christ has already done the work that saves at the cross. We need to trust him. If I were asked why I belonged in heaven, I would say, I don't. I'm a sinner, but I was saved. And Christ died for me, and my entrance into heaven, I believe, is secure. My ticket has been punched because of John 3:16, for example. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we know that we enter heaven based on Christ and what he has done for us, not by weighing our good works against our bad. After we are Christians, after we are servants of the Lord, after we've been born again, it's true that the Lord will examine our works. It's true that he will reward good works. He will reward faithfulness, but that's not the way we get into heaven. The way we get into heaven is by simple trusting faith in the fact that Christ did in fact die for our sins. Now, not only do we have the Lord then being an accountant who understands about income statements, but we have the Lord being an accountant who understands about projections. When we develop financial statements for a company, we often do budgeting and we do projections and we try to figure out if certain things happen exactly what the income statement will show and the balance sheet will show at the end of maybe a month, and then maybe at the end of 6 months, and then maybe at the end of a year, and maybe then at the end of 5 years. We constantly do these projections so that we know whether or not there's potential in the business, and if there's potential, whether we're meeting that potential. Well, the Lord has done projections, but his are secure, they're finalized, they're done. And the disciples asked the Lord in Matthew 24, they said, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Now, nobody knows what the life cycle of a company is going to be and whether in 5 years it'll be around or whether it won't, but the Lord has told us that at the end of the age, there are certain things that are going to happen, and we need to be prepared for them. And he tells us about these things so that we'll always be ready for the Lord to return. And one thing that's going to happen is the Lord is going to come the second time. And that coming is going to involve both his coming to the air to save Christians from coming wrath, but his coming is going to involve pouring out the wrath of God on a Christ-rejecting world, and there's going to be 7 years of terrible tribulation when the world that rejected Christ and did like Belshazzar and raised their fist in the face of God, that rebellious world is finally going to have to admit that they've done wrong. And they're going to be crying for the rocks to fall on them and to save them from the face of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. The Lord knows how to make projections, and he's given us those projections, but he hasn't told us just when those projections are going to come into force. And that's so he tells us to be always ready. We need to know for sure that our sins are forgiven right now. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless all that has been of thyself. Bless our listeners. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We commit ourselves and thy word into thy care in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.